You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, August 2nd, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you on RadioAlbion.com to wrap up your work week. A few notes. For starters, I apologize for not getting up a Daily Nationalist on Mondays. I do the Daily Nationalist. I try to record the Daily Nationalist on the show that it airs, which means I have a pretty small window to get the show done, edited, everything that goes along with getting it posted up. I do it on the day of, that way it's always kind of current. I'm always up with current events. And as such, there are times such as this past Monday where IRL things get in the way and it's just not feasible for me to get the show done. But it's not like I plan to make that a regular thing. It is always my intention to have something up for you here on Radio Albion Monday through Friday, something new for you to listen to. So again, apologies. I wasn't able to get a show up Monday, but we are here today. It is Friday to wrap up your work week. It's not going to be a funny Friday. That's the other thing. I try to make Fridays generally lighthearted. We're not going to do a funny Friday today. We're going to have a serious discussion and maybe hopefully a worthwhile discussion. We may get a little controversial. We're not going to shy away from being controversial today, but we're going to try to approach this discussion as I've kind of jotted what I want to get into today down. And we want to take great care that we stay within the confines of actually having, a relevant conversation. It may be a little controversial for some, but the truth needs to be said. Before we get off into that, as always, I remind you, we do have our Sven Longshank support links. Thank you all again for not forgetting Sven. We continue to put those up here for the time being on the Daily Nationalist until the time, hopefully very soon, when he gets released. So to get into this, I'm going to leak up two stories from the Daily Mail here, and I'm not going to read that much, if maybe not even any. I don't know, but I will link them up here just for reference. Of course, we had this stabbing in Britain and three children died. Multiple people were stabbed. I'm sure all of you are aware of the general details of what occurred. Again, I'm sure pretty much all of you are aware of this happening. Then again, if you're one of those people that only watch the mainstream network news here in the U.S., you may have no idea that this happened. I don't know. What I want to get into isn't so much the details of what happened, but the aftermath of it. Let's go ahead and start off. We are going to go ahead and reference this story. The first one, the headline is Home Secretary will be looking at whether to ban the English Defence League after riots on the streets of Southport in the wake of horror knife attack at Taylor Swift-themed dance class. One of the reasons I am loath to use the Daily Mail for references is they have no concept of keeping a title, the headline for a story, very brief. Your headline shouldn't be a paragraph long. Anyway, let's get into this just a little bit here. Ministers will consider whether the English Defence League should be banned following riots on the streets of Southport, Angela Rayner suggested today. The deputy PM said the government will look at various different groups amid widespread condemnation of violence that broke out after the horrific knife attack on children at a Taylor Swift-themed dance class. Angry politicians have blamed lies and propaganda on social media for igniting the chaos, while heartbroken Southport families have accused hoodlums of showing no respect to a town that is grieving. Now, they were very secretive about this person's identity because they were technically under 18. They were like 6 days away. The second story I'm linking to is that the judge in the case did go ahead and release this person's identity. This Axel Rudakabana. The 17-year-old, of course, as is usual, the media has no pictures of this person except when he was 10 years old, which is pretty par for the course. Now, these rumors they're referencing, word was going around this was a recent immigrant off the boat, and the government came out now and said, ha ha, joke's on you, he's native British. Of course, he's not native British, except that he was born on British soil. Now, let's get into the discussion. I really wanted to use this as a jumping off point from, because again, I really didn't want to get into, all of you pretty much know the details of the story. There's no point in me going over them, rehashing them again. What I wanted to discuss, what I thought this brings up that's worthy of discussion is what I'm going to refer to as the confines of discussion. In other words, the allowed parameters of the discussion as per allowed by the government. The government sets this allowed parameters in which you're allowed to have the discussion. And if you step outside of those parameters, especially in the UK, you could be thrown in jail. You could be convicted of a crime. Truth does not factor into this, into the confines of this discussion. In fact, truth is not allowed. And this in and of itself causes these various problems, or at least various problems of their own. For instance, the one third rail you're not allowed to discuss about these things is race. You're not allowed to have this discussion about race. That's not allowed. You are allowed to discuss it within the confines of immigration policy. That is allowed. And to a lesser extent, with some restrictions, you're allowed to discuss it within the confines of religion, the restrictions on that. But you're not allowed to discuss it you're not allowed to discuss it within the confines of the parameters of race. That's absolutely not allowed because you're going to get into some sort of thought crime with this. The problem is, to have a truthful discussion about this, you have to talk about, you have to get into race. As an example, our first story we referenced to, they talk about this English Defense League. I don't know the ins and outs of all these different British groups, but my understanding, that's kind of part of Tommy Robinson's deal. And again, without wading off into that, not a big fan. Tommy Robinson, you might have your own opinions. Don't send me messages about, oh, you just don't understand how based Tommy Robinson is. Not a fan. Their focus is against Islam, against Muslims. In fact, my understanding, when some of this violence broke out, these protests, they lined up out there and were throwing rocks at a mosque. And you have the imam being interviewed complaining about these people lining up and throwing rocks at a mosque. Well, I don't know if this Rwandan was Muslim or not. I don't think it's relevant if he was. In other words, you just look silly out there throwing rocks at a mosque. What does the mosque have to do with this incident? But you see, that's more closely allowed in the parameters of discussion. If you're having an honest discussion, you would say, we do not want to import Rwanda into Great Britain. But see, you're not allowed to do that. And that is the problem. This once again sheds a light on the lie of democracy as it's marketed to the people. We know what it actually is, but as it's marketed to the people as some form of the government responds to the will of the people. But yet we know that's not the case. How could you have a government that responds to the will of the people, that is an acting as, that is acting as representatives of the population at whole, when the government itself disallows the truth to be spoken by the population, when it criminalizes certain topics of discussion. When you disallow the truth to be discussed, it makes it impossible to actually address the people's concerns. And this, again, throws the light on democracy as it's marketed being a lie. Because of these confines, people will focus, hyper-focus on Islam as being the problem. They say they will go out here, these different groups, and they'll go out here and protest. And they'll say Islam is incompatible with British society. Islam is the issue. And that's not what they mean. What they mean is they do not want people from the Middle East coming into their country. If they were allowed to speak the truth, this is what they would say. They would say, we do not appreciate these people from these predominantly Middle Eastern countries colonizing our country. That's what they would say, but they're not allowed to say that, so they have to hedge what they say. They have to say Islam. Islam is the problem, but Islam is not the problem. That's a red herring. It's a red herring, and it's caused by the fact that, again, you're not allowed to have an honest, truthful discussion. If you attempt to do so, you'll wind up in jail. They'll call you names. They'll claim you have the emotion of hatred. That's the only reason you would want to discuss these things in the correct context. You must be motivated by hatred. If Islam suddenly became a popular religion among the white native British population. In other words, if you did not have immigration, let's just use our imaginations for a moment. You don't have immigration, but suddenly Islam becomes very popular among the native British population. But the demographics are unchanged from what they traditionally were, say 50 years ago. Would Islam be a problem? Would Islam being practiced by a large number, shall we say, of native white British, whether you're talking about the Welsh, Irish, whoever, suddenly they all are practicing Islam. Would people be out protesting and saying Islam is an issue? Now, there would probably be cultural clashes. There would be some friction here. But by and large, you would not have this backlash, this complaint about Islam. What people are honestly wanting to complain about is these other people coming into their country. That's the truth. They say, we're going to get a little controversial today. The truth is, what they want to complain about is we don't want those people coming into our country. But they're not allowed to say that, so they complain about Islam. The government and their media allies always make sure you're not allowed to discuss these things in the confines of race. They run around and accuse you of hatred, and hatred is not necessary. You don't have to have, who has to have a discussion based on emotion? The reality is, this conflict is one based on race. That's the ugly truth. If this stabbing happened in Rwanda, by this Rwandan immigrant, if it had happened in Rwanda, nobody would care. Another harsh reality. Yes, if someone read about it, people would get on there and comment and virtue signal about, oh, those poor little Rwandan girls. It's so sad, but they wouldn't mean it. You wouldn't have people protesting that something be done to stop Rwandans in Rwanda from stabbing one another. Nobody would care. That's, again, the ugly truth. They would say, well, you should care because they're all human beings. I'm just talking about human nature. You wouldn't care because that's their country and they do things differently there. The conflict here is that you have Rwandans, among all these other people, being purposely imported into Britain. And that's the rub. And yet you have all these peripheral conflicts and peripheral discussions because nobody's allowed to say what the actual problem is. So they blame Islam and they say we need a little less immigration. We need to reform the immigration policy. And whether you have the Tories or the Labour Party, they will all once in a while mouth some platitudes about how they might someday really start to curb immigration. The Tories got blown out because people just got weary of year after year claiming they're going to do something to curb immigration. Now, one of the base lies that the government puts forward, in not so many words, not necessarily set in policy, but by default, is that race does not exist. Race doesn't exist. And as such, people are all 100% the same, regardless of race. And as such, if you have a declining birth rate in Britain, for instance, you simply look to these other countries that have more than enough people. They have more people than they can support. You import those people and just interchange them. And it doesn't make any difference because, again, they're all the same. This, of course, is a lie. It's a lie they create. Then they try to reference back on that lie to shame people before they release this person's identity completely, if I recall. You know, people were like, oh, it's a recent immigrant came in here and stabbed. And then they're like, ha-ha, joke's on you. He's native British. And then you see this picture. Well, obviously, he's not native British. Well, his parents came from Rwanda, but he was born in Britain. So your own argument that somehow the dirt is magic obviously is incorrect. You see, these would be the uncomfortable discussions. These would be the uncomfortable questions that the government and their media apparatus would be forced to face if you were even allowed to have this discussion. It's not hard to see why they've made it illegal to have this discussion. You see why they rely on hysteria, on emotional, on appeals to emotion, pointing these things out. It's white supremacy. It's hatred. When it's not. It's just to point out that obviously that is a lie. Race observably is real. And there's not a matter of supremacy, superiority, or inferiority. It's acknowledging that people are different. And when you have a large congregation of people who are fundamentally different than another group of people, you're going to wind up with conflict. This is inevitable because they're different. Again, inferiority, superiority doesn't factor into it at all. It's because people are different. And just putting it on a base level is kinky, woolly hair, such as black people have, is it inferior or superior to more straight and regular, you know, silkier, whatever, white people hair or brown people hair? People like woolly hair is something specific to people who have African roots, who have African lineage. But is it superior or is it inferior to hair like other races of people have? Well, it's a non-question. It's neither one. It's just simply different. You see this reflected in how black people carry this. Some choose to grow their hair out in a big afro. Some of them choose to cut it all off. Sometimes the women cut it off and they wear wigs that look more like other races' hair. It's not a matter of superiority or inferiority, because that's just a matter of personal preference. It's just a matter of, though, those things are different. Rwanda as a country is like it is because it is populated by Rwandans. If you import Rwandans into Wales, Ireland, Scotland, England, if you get a large enough population of them, it will be reflective of Rwanda. They're not magically going to copy the culture of Welshmen or Englishmen. Britain will more and more resemble Rwanda. And Rwanda's just one group here. They're importing people from all over the world. Now, just a cursory observation, it is clear that the goal is to replace the native white population. They call this a conspiracy theory, but there's no other way to look at it as far as what the plan has to be. There's no realistic other plan that could be at work here. They plan to, the obvious goal here is to replace the native white population. They're saying it doesn't make any difference, but that's off topic. Clearly, in other words, why can't they be honest and just tell the native population, well, we're going to replace you with these people. That's the goal here. If democracy, as it's marketed, has anything to do with the will of the people, then why does the government find it necessary to lie to the people? Why do they not just tell the people, we're replacing you with these people? Don't worry, it's not going to make any difference. Instead, they claim this is a conspiracy. This is a conspiracy theory. Sort of like here in the U.S. You know, once it reaches critical mass, then they come out and say it. It's like here in the U.S. For years, people have been pointing out that Joe Biden has obviously got dementia. And the media for years, the experts, you know, the fact checkers, they dismissed this and said this is just crazy right-wing conspiracy theory. Then the debate debacle happened, and all of a sudden the media was like, oh my gosh, Joe Biden has dementia. They just pretended like they haven't spent years dismissing people as being conspiracy theorists. Once the narrative shifts, they pretend they never said any of that, and they pretend they are the first to discover the shocking revelation that Joe Biden has dementia. They will sit here and say, replacing the native white populations is a crazy conspiracy. That's a crazy conspiracy theory that possibly has anti-Semitic undertones. Why they chose to throw that in there, you'd have to ask them. But at some point, yeah, they'll just admit, well, y'all have been replaced. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it now. Now, as I said, when you get large enough groups that are fundamentally different, you're going to wind up, by and large, with a certain amount of conflict. Now, that conflict is not always, what do I want to say, is not always unbearable for society. It just depends on how different those groups are and how long they've lived amongst one another. I always use here in Texas as an example. Hispanic people of Hispanic, they've been here since the founding of the state. We've lived kind of amongst, side by side with one another for a long time. So you don't have that amount of friction as you do from Rwanda being imported into Britain. We don't have that. We have a lot of, we're racially different, but we have a lot of things also in common. And part of that is just because Texas kind of has a different culture. I don't want to get off into the bushes with that, but it just is. So you don't have that. There is sometimes some friction, but by and large, you don't have that here because the people are a little more similar. They have a longer history together. Most of the conflict on that front that shows up here, when you get down to it, it's because of recent imports who bring their recent import politics with them and try to stir up trouble. But again, that's a topic for a different day. You're always, you know, people get into these discussions and they will say, you know, talk about racially homogenous, having a racially homogenous nation. And then it'll get off into these weird autistic discussions about having DNA tests and at what percentage are you allowed in the ethnostate, and that stuff is just silly. You're always going to have a certain number of foreigners living among you. You just are. That's just how the world is. For whatever various reasons, you're always going to have a certain percentage of people who are different than you. They're of a different race. They're going to choose, for whatever reason, to live in your country. That's not a problem. It is not. Look, that's not a problem. That is not what's being done today. That is not multiculturalism. That is just foreigners living among you. There's going to be some. It's silly to pretend that you're never going to have that, because throughout history, you do always have a certain percentage. It only becomes a problem when you reach a critical mass and you find that this imbalance, getting closer to this, to the number being so big that you wind up with conflict, it's completely unnatural. It's being implemented as a part of policy. Again, a small number of people are going to go live among foreign people in their country for various reasons. That generally doesn't cause a problem. You're not going to have, organically, you're not going to have a massive number of people from a different ethnicity, a different racial group, decide to go move and live with among a bunch of foreigners just organically. That y'all just up and decide one day. People, by their very nature, choose to live among people more like themselves. Again, you'll have a small number of people that don't choose to do that. That's how it is, and that's not a problem. It's the way the world has always worked. What you're seeing now is not a normal way in which the world works. You're having this forced importation of these very, very racially different people. And of course, it's causing conflict. But since you're not allowed, you have all of these other discussions. People blaming Islam, because what they really want to complain about are these racially different people coming in. But that's not allowed, so they complain about their religion. And you can't, if you're not allowed to speak the truth, you can't have an honest discussion. You can't work through problems. But obviously, this isn't the government wanting to work through a problem. This is the government implementing something on the people. Something that they know, if they're honest about, the people will take issue with. Like I say, the government sets these parameters. The government and media, it's the same thing. Whether in the U.S., Britain, or whatever, the government and the media are the same thing. Or they're parts, they're different parts of the same. They set the confines of discussion. We're stepping out of those confines. We're going to go ahead. Like I say, what we're doing here today, we're stepping out of those confines. We're just going to go ahead. We're just going ahead. And we're speaking. And we're speaking the truth. They'll talk a lot about demographic decline. You see a lot of people bring up demographic decline. And I argue demographic decline is irrelevant. I see a lot of people, even well-meaning people, and they'll complain and talk about, what are we going to do about this demographic decline? And it's irrelevant. You'll see this in this discussion once again, because you're allowed to discuss in the parameters of government immigration policy. So because of that, people will have this discussion. What we really need to do is find a way to address our demographic problem. We need white people to be having more white babies. As if the answer is a competition in breeding with these other races of people. Demographics is not an issue. Much ado gets made of Japan's declining demographics. But the truth of the matter is, demographics tend to be cyclical. If Japan were to stay homogenous Japanese, it's irrelevant. They're going to have enough of a population, especially with modern technology, in order to defend themselves. And at some point, the market will allow. The reason you have a declining demographic is people have to work themselves to death and they still can't afford rent for themselves or for their children. If you maintain your demographics, that resets. At some point in time, as people age out and leave this world, there's going to be more empty houses. And when you have these empty houses, it just stands to reason it's going to get cheaper to have a place to live. With a declining demographics, and you don't have, if you do not have the government interfering in the market and intentionally keeping wages suppressed via immigration, wages will go up. Wages will have to go up. When wages go up, guess what? The husband can work and support a wife and kid at home, wife and children at home, like has always been traditionally done. And guess what? When the husband can work and support a wife and children at home, they will have more children. And the demographics then line out and then increase. The discussion on demographics, by and large, is a red herring. Immigration is not the answer. Immigration is the problem. Immigration is what keeps demographics from correcting itself. If you do not have this massive immigration, again, I'm not talking about a small number of foreigners that for whatever reason decide to settle in your country that has always happened through history. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this intentional program of importing these other people in the name of they're somehow going to magically replace the native population. You're going to get the same results. If the government doesn't do that and left on its own, demographics will correct. They're cyclical. Yes, you're going to have increases and decreases in demographics. But these things will normalize themselves out. It's this interference from the government, from these government agencies, which keep it. The corporations demand that wages remain suppressed, so they do everything to do this, and immigration is one of the ways in which they do this. If you look at the flip side, to stay on this topic for just a minute, if you look on the flip side of demographics correcting themselves, and we always talk, most of the time the discussion is in declining demographics, because basically in white countries across the board, they're declining. Let's look at the flip side of it. You have an over, shall we say, an unsustainable overabundance. When they talk about overpopulation, when they talk about an exploding world population, the vast majority of that is coming out of Africa. But that too is unnatural. It's the flip side of the declining demographics. In other words, just as the declining demographics in white countries is a part of government policy because they're not let the government is interfering, keeping wages low and other things. It's keeping the demographics from correcting itself. If you turn that over and look at the other side of the equation, the exploding demographics out of Africa, as an example, you see, that too is the same thing. If you went back decades ago when this first started, you have this abundance, this exploding population starting in Africa. And nature, by nature being what nature is, says, well, it can't be supported. There's not enough food. And instead of nature correcting itself and the demographics tapering off, declining, and then remaining at this sustainable level, governments, agencies, white people rushed in there and said, they were shown these images of starving Africans and they said, we can't allow this to happen. And they rush in there and they start shipping in food and supplies and we're going to keep these people alive. And it seems like a nice, good thing to do. Nobody wants people dying. I'm not being cold and mean here. But I'm saying now you fast forward to today and there's no way to pop that. If you cut off all foreign aid out of the continent of Africa, it would be a massive population die off. There just wouldn't be enough food. More people would die of starvation, disease, than had nobody started that decades ago. But people rushed in and said, oh no, we can't allow this to happen. And the demographics then continued to soar way beyond sustainable levels for the continent. You see what I'm saying? It's the flip side of the declining demographics. It's all unnatural. Nature left on its own, things will correct. It's not an issue. They don't have to remain on the same trajectory. It's when you interfere and don't allow, try to keep nature from correcting itself, whether you're talking about declining or exploding demographics. If you don't interfere with it, things will balance out. So demographics themselves wind up being a red herring discussion. All of this conflict is completely unnecessary. Because, especially with the technology we have today and whatnot, there's enough room in the world for everybody. There's enough room in the world for everybody. for everybody to have a place of their own. There's enough room. I remember reading one time, and I don't know how true it is because I read it years ago, and I'm not an expert. This was something thrown out there. And it said, but what I read was one of the reasons that Japan was expanding, felt the need to expand as an empire leading up to World War II, is they believed, they looked at their little island nation of Japan, and they said, we're going to have too many people. We've got to expand our land. If we do not expand our land, we're just going to basically cannibalize each other. We've got to expand. We've got too many people, not enough land for them. Well, they lost World War II. They lost their empire. It's 80 years later. And guess what? They're still around. There's enough room in the world for everybody. Everybody to have a place of their own. There's no need to take somebody else's land, to take somebody else's area. There's no need, regardless of justifications, moral justification, usually justifications are brought about on an emotional and moral level. If you look at colonialism back in the day, they had all kinds of moral justifications. We're bringing civilization to these backward savages. It was wrong. It was wrong. You don't need their land. If you want the resources, just pay them for it. It's what China does. It's possible. Oh, but our corporations don't want to have to pay for it. They want to get the government to go in there and point guns at these people, install a puppet government so they can just take the stuff for pennies on the dollar or possibly absolutely free. There's no need for all that. You don't need to go and take somebody else's land. You don't need to take away their place in the world. You need to take away their place. There's no reason for it. There's no reason to take away another man's place in the world for him and his people. There's room here for everybody. There's room here. Yes, disputes happen. Look, I don't live in fantasy land. I understand. Wars happen. Disputes happen. People get greedy. Politicians happen. And people want to take somebody else's stuff. Human nature, with all its faults, is what it is, but the reality is it's completely unnecessary. There's enough room in this world for everybody to have a place of their own, with their own people. We've had this discussion today, and you're not, there's no emotionalism here. There's no quote-unquote hatred. They never define these terms, by the way. They just throw them out there. It usually comes down to some sort of name-calling and, again, an attempt to limit discussion and keep you within the confines of what the government says you're allowed to discuss. But there's no hatred here. There's an acknowledgement that people are just different. Again, it's not superior, inferior. That's BS. People are simply different. I had a discussion recently, and I don't even remember exactly what the topic was, but there's something that Asian people, certain, Oriental, what would you say Oriental? Because in Britain, they'll say Asian and they mean Middle Eastern. What we traditionally say Asian, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, we kind of lump them all together, and no, they don't like that. But it was something they do, and I was having this discussion, and somebody was making a comment on it. And I said, I said, they're just different. No, it's just, it's not a matter of, that's crazy or something. No, they're just different. They're just a different people. They have a different culture. I always find it humorous that sometimes some of the people who are most will virtue signal their little blessed hearts out about, how they don't see race will be the first ones when they see a different people doing things differently. They'll run out there and virtue signal against those very things. For instance, I know in Korea for sure, and I think also in Japan as well, there's a specific thing. If you have a family member, if you, let's say, live in Korea, and you have a family member that gets arrested for a crime, you are going to face harassment in the neighborhood. They'll come graffiti the walls on your house, calling you names. you know, home of a murder. They'll throw rocks at you and eggs at you and curse you and spit at you going down the street. And people will see this. Westerners will see this and they'll say, oh my gosh, that's so wrong. They don't deserve that. They didn't do the crime. It was their family member that did the crime. But you see, that's their culture. They're just simply, it's not a matter of are they right or wrong to do that. You can't judge that because you're not them. Obviously, it's right for them. That's a part of their culture for a reason. Because of the way they view it and the way they reason and the way they view themselves and their extended community, they do hold people responsible for what their family does. We don't, generally speaking. No, people, white people, Western white people, we don't view things that way. But you can't apply that on, say, Koreans because they do. And I see people, you see this, you see people, you see it portrayed in a show. I'll spit it out here, I'm sorry. You'll see this portrayed in a TV show. And you'll have all these, obviously, Westerners condemn it. The same people who would sit there and call you a racist for pointing out that people are different, they'll suddenly condemn Koreans for doing this because they cannot accept that they're simply different people. It's not a matter of, oh, they're lesser than us. They're inferior to us because they do this thing that we find morally objectionable. No, they're just different. They have a different way of thinking. Is that way of thinking right or wrong? That doesn't factor in. They're simply different. They're going to view and interact with each other and the world differently because they are different. Again, it's not superior, inferior. They're just simply different. At the end of the day, this conflict in Britain over the stabbing, that's the stabbing itself, the violence over people protesting over it, all of this friction, this is the government's doing. You can understand why they don't want you discussing it, because all of it is created by them, by the government. Rwandans would not be living in Great Britain, and as such, you would not have a Rwandan stabbing little girls in Britain. Why are Rwandans living in Britain? Because of government policy. The government is bringing them in. People would not be increasingly violently protesting if they felt like the government was listening to what they want to say or what they're complaining about or their grievances. They outlaw every sort of discussion. And then when you have a certain amount of people that start setting cars on fire, then they complain and they're like, oh, these are a bunch of beard up ruffians, without taking any responsibility for their own part in it. For the fact that they completely ignore those complaining about it. Anyway, when they come out and say they justify limiting the discussion within certain parameters, within a confine as defined by themselves, they attempt to justify it in the name of preventing hatred, in the name of preventing these ill-defined words that are meant to elicit an emotional response. To date, I think we've had a discussion devoid of any emotionalism. And hopefully, at least in that itself, we can prove that you can discuss the truth without disparaging anybody, without disparaging any people. And the fact of the matter is, you're never going to address fundamental problems. You're never even going to come close to solving any of these issues if you're not going to be allowed to get to the truth of the matter, if you're not going to be allowed to speak the truth. We'll wrap up on that note. It went a little long. Sorry. Hope you found the discussion interesting. I just find it really amazing how the government work so hard to make sure you're not allowed to discuss the truth. And then they claim they're representing the will of the people, that they're not allowed. You're just not allowed to complain to me about that. Thus, I don't have to solve the problem, which at the end of the day, they themselves are the ones creating. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. I appreciate you joining me again. I'm sorry I wasn't here Monday. I do plan to be back Monday if everything works out. If not, hey, you know, it's just a one-off thing. I hope you've had a chance to check out. I was here for the Parish of the Patriots on Tuesday. Of course, Dr. Johnson was here Wednesday and Thursday. If you haven't had a chance to check that out, please be sure and do so. I hope you enjoy your weekend. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.